Picture a salesman closing three major deals before lunch. His personal best. He's calling his wife from a phone booth, practically floating with excitement. Their Hawaii vacation fund just got a $3,200 boost. Most people would call this a winning day. But what if I told you this moment of triumph was actually the beginning of his downfall? Eric Bratton thought he'd earned an early finish. Three sales meant paperwork, sure, but also time to catch the Lakers game and maybe squeeze in some golf. He'd hit 75% of his monthly quota with days to spare. Why not celebrate? Here's the uncomfortable truth. Eric's three wins were setting him up for his greatest failure. Not because he succeeded, but because he stopped. He confused progress with arrival, momentum with completion. That night, loading his golf clubs while his wife teased him about playing midweek, Eric fell asleep dreaming of birdies and eagles, not realizing he was about to learn the most counterintuitive lesson of his career. Success isn't just about winning. It's about what you do after you win. After a fall at the golf course, Eric woke up somewhere impossible. Expensive art lined the walls. A maid called him Mr. Bratton and mentioned his wife was buying art in Europe. The mirror revealed a stranger with gray hair and 20 extra pounds. The calendar read March 23, 2000, 10 years in the future. In the study, Eric found three hardcover books he'd supposedly written: Fail Your Way to Success, One of These Days Is Now, and How to Have the Most Productive Year of Your Life. When he called the number on the book jacket, he reached himself. The other Eric arrived tanned, fit, and unnervingly calm. We all have a future self shaped by today's choices. The two Erics, one struggling, one thriving, represent a fork in the road. The difference? A single conversation about two letters, N and O. Over dinner, the two Erics traced when their lives diverged. 10 years earlier, both closed a big sale at Dubin's Clothing. Then Harold, the district manager, asked, "What did the customer say no to?" Eric realized he'd ended the sale at his own mental spending limit, not when the customer was done buying. Harold's insight cut deep. The salesperson never decides when the sale is over. The customer does. Then the punchline: you're just two letters away from greatness, N and O. Using a napkin, successful Eric drew a revelation. Most people see success and failure as opposites. The truth? Failure sits halfway between starting and succeeding, a milestone to pass through, not avoid. Most people turn back at failure, never realizing success lies straight ahead. "We've been taught to avoid failure at all costs," Eric explained. "We sugarcoat it when we should be desensitizing ourselves to failing." After Harold's lesson, one Eric transformed his approach and became a VP at CopyQuest. The other got fired 2 months later. Same person, same skills, different response to rejection. Flying toward Monterey in Eric's private jet, the narrator pressed harder. Could accepting rejection really create this success? Eric clarified, "Willingness to hear no got my career on track. Wantingness to fail made all the difference. Willingness means tolerating rejection. Wantingness means actively hunting for it until rejection becomes fun." Instead of setting goals for yeses, Eric sets goals for collecting no's. One of his top salespeople won both the award for most rejections and top salesperson. Not coincidence, but correlation. "The most empowering word isn't yes, but no," Eric insisted. "Hearing yes teaches nothing. Persisting through rejection builds character. With no goals, success increases activity rather than triggering complacency." If Eric had aimed for 16 no's instead of 4 yeses, his Monday success would have driven more calls, not fewer. "I haven't set traditional success goals in 10 years, Eric revealed. "I focus solely on increasing my failure rate, trusting successes will naturally follow." Even his wife Elaine applies this in her art galleries. Setting no goals prevents ending hot streaks prematurely, exactly what Eric did on his three sale day when he benched himself right as momentum peaked. "What's your failure quotient?" Eric asked, citing Lincoln's defeats and Colonel Sanders' 2 years of rejections before KFC success. Kurt, one of Eric's top salespeople, explained how Go for No helped him overcome pike syndrome. Pikefish separated from prey by glass repeatedly hit the barrier, then stop trying. Remove the glass, and they starve surrounded by food, conditioned to believe they can't succeed. Eric taught me to enjoy bumping my nose, Kurt said. A consultant saved a struggling insurance company with a counterintuitive opening. You don't want to buy any life insurance, do you? Though 59 of 60 said no, agents could approach enough people daily to make one sale, far better than before. Successful selling is about removing enough dirt to find gold, Cheryl explained. The key is failing faster through more attempts rather than perfecting technique. 92% of salespeople quit after four no's, yet 60% of customers say no four times before yes. That gap, where most potential dies. If you're going to fail, fail big, Kurt advised over lunch. He explained that pursuing larger accounts yields better returns for the same effort. A salesperson with a 10% closing rate targeting clients needing 20 copiers instead of two needs only one success to equal 10 smaller sales. Rejection feels the same regardless of deal size, but the rewards for success are exponentially greater. Earlier, Eric encouraged the narrator to expand his comfort zone while flying the jet. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is acting in the face of fear. Rejection is inevitable whether pursuing small or large goals. If you'll face it anyway, why not attach it to goals that truly matter? The sting feels roughly the same, but potential rewards differ vastly. The real risk isn't hearing no from a big prospect. It's never asking at all. When asked for leadership advice, Eric offered two transformative perspectives. First, failing exponentially, multiplying failure rates across organizations. If 100 salespeople each get 5 additional no's daily, that creates 100,000 more annual rejections without increasing costs. He referenced Thomas Edison hiring additional inventors to fail faster than he could alone. Eric's second principle, reward people for failures, not just successes. At CopyQuest, they give producer pin awards to top salespeople and go for no awards to those with the most failed attempts. Cheryl admitted the failure trophy meant more because it validated internal effort rather than external achievement. Over time, the two award lists have become mirrors of each other, Eric noted. The narrator woke in a hospital bed 4 days after his fall, his experience apparently a dream. But 6 months later, he'd transformed his approach. Now leading in sales and on track for Salesman of the Year, he was most proud of leading in rejections. At La Costa Resort's 7th Green, he recognized the location from his dream. When the client mentioned moving, he confidently stated he'd buy his house one day. Leaving, he discovered the missing page from Eric's book on the floor, confirming his experience wasn't just a dream. We all stand where Eric stood that day, having won enough to feel satisfied, but not enough to reach our potential. The choice isn't between success and failure, it's between stopping after good enough and pushing through rejection toward extraordinary. Yes is the destination, no is how you get there.